out there, everybody, and welcome to Cabination 124, the Throwdown Edition here. This is going to be a quick and fast edition, hopefully. Well, quick and fast for somebody who usually turns out a 45-minute show without actually meaning to. So, as you can tell by the sound of my voice, we are still not yet over that irritating cold or whatever the heck it is at this point. Almost up to the point where we actually have to go to the doctors for this because it's irritating me. there's a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on here at the Caffeination. Not the least of which has been the two main here things here. First, we're taking the boy to the doctors tomorrow. Everything should be fine with that. Second, I'm still sick. No clue what's going to fix that. And third, if everybody remembers that my computer was slightly crippled at the last point in time while I'm recording the show exceedingly late tonight. It was on and off whether or not I was actually going to record it tonight just because of all the issues I was having with this computer. I finally had to beat it into submission, cut half of the stuff out of the computer itself, so we're currently only running one CD drive, which I actually realized I don't need, so I probably could take that out and save myself a little bit more power. One CD drive, both hard drives, because I actually need my operating systems on one, and all the files for the podcast are on the other, so kind of need both of them. The motherboard, one fan, and the cooling system. Missing are all the FireWire cards, all of the... about the only real fun thing that's in there right now is the cooling system, which is a liquid cooling system. Everything else is pretty much shot to heck at this point, but... we're going to be working on that, hopefully fix everything and get it up and running for the next show. So thank you, everybody, who expressed your well wishes to the computer. None of it worked. We're just going to try and get along here at the Caffeination, like I said. So we have a little bit of information for you today. First, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor. This show is sponsored by GoToMeeting. If you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen will show up on their computer screen. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, trainings, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a per-minute fee like other providers. You can meet as often as you want, as long as you need, with one flat rate. That's GoToMeeting. You can try GoToMeeting free, and you can meet anyone, anywhere, anytime, without ever having to leave your office. You'll end up not only saving time, but a lot of money, too. So you can give it a shot yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's P-O-D-C-A-S-T. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, I'd just like to thank GoToMeeting for continuing to sponsor us here at the Caffeination. It's been a wonderful ride so far. Everything's working swimmingly in that regard, and I guess we should probably get on to the actual meat and potatoes here at the Caffeination, because, like I said, we're actually no longer recording on Sunday night, but rather Monday morning at this point, which... may or may not come back to bite me in the rear end, depending on what time Paul decides to wake us up. Like I said, it's been kind of crazy lately. But hey, it's been crazy for the past 7 months almost. He turns 7 months in 2 days at this point, Wednesday. So that should be kind of fun. All right. First up here from the Tech Tidbit section, we have two articles that are quick little things from Dig that we found that we actually absolutely had to share with people today. The first up is Adobe is starting to attempt to combat... I don't know if anybody out there knows what a generalization of a trademark is. So basically, if you're going to say something... if you're looking for something and you're saying that you're going to Google it, it's a generalization of the trademark. You can no longer Xerox anything unless you're using a Xerox machine. You are copying it. You are mimeographing it. You are photocopying it. You're doing hundreds of things, but you cannot Xerox it unless you're using a Xerox machine. If your trademark becomes generalized, then you no longer have the trademark on it. For instance, rollerblades. There was a company which made rollerblades. I think there still is a company which makes rollerblades as one word, but not two. But the generalized term has become a two word, I believe. Or I could be completely wrong in that aspect. And please correct me if you see fit. Oh yeah, by the way, I want to get this up and out of the way right at the beginning of the show. If you're listening to this show at the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network or anywhere else, you can find it at www.caffination.com. That's caffination.com. You can submit content, feedback, suggestions, anything else. We've actually had a couple people, and they're not little. I have no clue how big they are. But we've had a couple people submit content a little bit later on in the show, and we've actually really reached somewhat of a milestone, and I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But you can send comment, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to send our way over to caffination@gmail.com. All right, wanted to get back to the whole generalization of the trademark thing. Photoshop, or Adobe rather, is fighting the generalization of the trademark of Photoshop. Photoshop is an Adobe word, so you cannot say that they're trying to fight the word using the word Photoshop as a verb, because I guess that's one of the latter stages of generalization. So you cannot Photoshop a document. You can use Photoshop to manipulate a document. You cannot go out and Photoshop an image. You need to use Photoshop to manipulate an image. And there's a whole load of different questions and everything, but here's the thing. At this point, to Photoshop something, I'm only using Photoshop when I'm going to Photoshop something. I don't know anybody who uses GIMP and says that they're going to Photoshop something. They say they'll edit something, or I could be completely wrong again. But I don't understand. it just seems. It seems a little bit overreaching on their part. I understand where they're coming from. It just seems ridiculous, and everybody's making fun of them. One of the little posts on Dig said, according to them, instead of saying my hobby is Photoshopping, you'd say it like this. To those who use Adobe Photoshop with the little R's behind Adobe and Photoshop software, to manipulate images as a hobby, see their work as an art form. So I guess you could see the little extensive modification of language they actually need to go through, the verbal gymnastics, as it were, to actually end up on the right side of the user agreement. It's actually built into the EULA. So, and here's the funny little thing which came up later on Dig. Adobe uses Photoshop as a verb on their own website. I guess they're going to have to rethink that one. So you need to play that little sound effect in the background. The wah, 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 wah. All right, that's enough with the attempted sound effects with a bad voice to begin with. But we're going to move right along here. We have a little, just a little blurb that we found there. We're calling this one the mouse that roars. There's a hand-painted Tilt-A-Mouse that is apparently a very proud tradition in China. But I haven't used the Tilt-A-Mouse, but it seems kind of an interesting little thing. This is actually a very similar mouse to the one that was completely encrusted in rhinestones a couple weeks ago that we covered here at the Caffeination. But it's an unbelievable paint job on a mouse. I have to give them that. I'm a big fan of modifications. It's part of the reason that I'm actually having the issues that I do. I don't have a Dell. I don't have a Gateway. I have a Paul Muller special. So anything and everything that goes wrong with this computer, there's pretty much nobody I can contact because there's actually craft wire holding part of it together at this point. So it's kind of like when I'm in work and I have an error on one of the plotters or one of the other machines, and they say, please contact your systems administrator. And it's like, all right, well, that's not really going to help me in this case because I'm the systems administrator and I have no clue what the hell just happened. So I love those messages. That's what they do when they say, you know what, you might need to talk to somebody who knows a little bit more. What we need on the plotters, at least in work, because we're having some issues with them, of course, is a little thing that says, yeah, you might want to get tech support down here because you're not going to be able to fix it. I'm not going to be able to fix it. And pretty much nobody knows what this means. So, I don't know. And all that stems from a little Tilt-A-Mouse painted from China. But, Jay. And we're going on. Now the great state of Utah, yes, they have decided to condemn open Wi-Fi networks. And why, you may ask? Well, first of all, let me put this out there. There are some lawmakers in Utah that are actually opposing this because, pardon me, they're saying that this is going to make Utah seem like a backward state. Yeah, just a little bit, people. But still, they're saying that open Wi-Fi is a gateway to pornography. It's a gateway to all of the illicit substances that are available on the internet, because there's no way to pin down who needs to, who's accessing anything. There are some people, for reasons of their own, who just wish to have an open internet connection. There's some people who think of it as kind of a karmic reason to have an open internet connection. They see it as, you know what, I myself have benefited from having an open internet connection available to me. Yeah, available, not available to me. At any given point in time, so I'd like to make that service available to others. I can understand and I can appreciate that. We don't do that here at the Caffeination headquarters, just because I like to have a secure network. I do a lot of surfing on the laptop, and for the longest time, we had no wired connections. Like, for instance, when the Caffeination headquarters is actually at the third floor apartment that we used to inhabit, there was no way we could run wires from one section to the other, because I didn't have a 50-foot Ethernet cable. So it wouldn't have been 50 feet. It would have been more of like a straight shot for 25, but 50 feet if we, you know, snaked around all the different little walls and everything so it didn't look ugly having a cable run down the hallway. But, anyway, back to Utah. Man, I gotta watch myself today. Like I said, we were recording late, and I'm punch drunk. I don't even know what happened. Here's the second reason why the show's so late. I figure I might want to fill you in. For the doctor's appointment tomorrow, we're actually going to be wandering around. We're actually going to be wandering around campus for a little bit, and we're bringing some of the boys' equipment. Never has somebody so small had so much crap that goes with them. I mean, I know all the parents out there understand exactly what I'm talking about, and I'm pretty sure everybody else understands. But imagine if your laptop, like your tiny little laptop, even if it's like a little 12-inch laptop, imagine if you needed to bring the monitor with it. And it, not only that, but you needed to bring a UPS battery pack to power the monitor, and then you needed to bring a webcam in case the monitor did something interesting. So, I mean, you can see that the kind of creeping features of owning a child, but or caring for a child, rather. But, yeah, we're just going to move on, because I'm going to let the story deal with itself. If you'd like to read that, you can head on over to caffeination.com. Deal all about the free Wi-Fi hotspot not going to be existing in Utah anymore. There's a whole bunch of little ins and outs and legal ramifications of different things. I don't think it's actually going to stand up in court, personally, basically because they're saying that they want to criticize what's so-called unregulated internet, saying that anyone can do anything on this internet. Yes, well, that's kind of the nature of the beast. If no one could do anything except what was expressly allowed within the law, then, you know, there really wouldn't be that much innovation. And now we're going to take that and we're going to move it on to a slightly more personal for somebody over a joystick, but not personal to us. I actually do have a tattoo. I'm just going to stop referring to myself in the third person, first off. But every once in a while they have links to gaming tattoos up there. And usually I just laugh at the people and say, all right, yeah, you're a bit of a silly for getting a tattoo of a game. You do realize they're permanent, and when you're, you know, 65, your little Mario tattoo might, you know, end up looking like Larry Bird. But still, I mean, when you see the reasons behind some people's tattoos, there's kind of a little bit more of a deeper thing. And I actually thought this was an unbelievable and great story behind this. I mean, you may have opinions on tattoos one way or another, but hey, it's not your body. There's actually a picture over at Joystick of a Triforce tattoo. One of the editors over there actually, his mother passed away about 2 years ago, and he and his three brothers and his father all wanted to get tattoos in memorial to her, and they all happen to be very large gamers. So they sort of thought, since there was three brothers, that the perfect thing to memorialize their mother, that they would all do matching tattoos, would be to get the Triforce. Now, each brother has a different section of the Triforce colored in, which I also thought was awesome. And the father has all of them colored in. So, I mean, it's just kind of cool when you could head on over there and actually see the different locations of the tattoo. One of the brothers got it on his chest, the father got it on his arm, one of the brothers got it on his forearm, and the editor actually has it on his calf. Now, my tattoo's on my upper arm because I don't want anyone seeing it in business situations or anything like that. And just because it's not that I have a problem with tattoos, but I know some people may. So rather than have bring that discussion out into the open. I decided to just head it off at the pass. However, despite my best efforts, I forgot that not everybody in my family knew that I had a tattoo. And at my wedding, when I was wearing a white shirt, you could kind of see the black tattoo show through. So, that surprised a couple of my relatives. Not a bad surprise, it was just kind of funny. "You have a tattoo?" at the top of her lungs in the middle of the reception. "Well, yes, I do. Thank you for broadcasting it, but no problems. No worries." All right, on to the next little link we had here in the Caffeination. How would you like some software controls? I mean, really software controls. I don't understand the sizing of these, and I don't understand how well they work, but they are remote control pillows. There's a giant pillow. There's a pillow with a giant power symbol on it. I'm assuming that's to turn a random device on or off. There's a plus and minus for volume up and volume down. Then there's the, plus and minus. Actually, one. There's a volume up and volume down symbol. I don't know what the plus and minus are for. Oh, changes the channels. I'm sorry. I had to actually read. RTFP. All right. Now, they said they don't know exactly they're for televisions, but they don't know exactly which televisions these will work with. Not all televisions use the same signals. I mean, if anybody out there has, like, digital cable in the U.S. or anything, they all come with this very spiffy remote that you're supposed to be able to program with anything. But as the discussion at today's party would show, my family had a birthday party for me today, but as the discussion for any's at the party today showed, not everyone is capable of programming the remote to show everything that it's supposed to, and sometimes the remote just functions in a completely awkward and strange fashion. So I wonder how you would go about programming your pillows to interface correctly with your TV. So it's just kind of fun, kind of putting it out there. Another little link we have, yes, another Roomba hack. This one's one of the hackable Roombas, though. I don't know how I feel about these. Originally, I was like, man, this is awesome. These are Roombas that come pre-built to hack. They have no dustbin for collecting anything. They have a serial port so that you can plug all kinds of robotics and stuff onto it. This one has an airsoft gun along with all these little pellets on there, so it's actually able to wander around the floor and fire at things. Hey, that's pretty cool. Maybe be fun to scare the cats around here, but still. I kind of thought there was a little bit more artistry and a little bit more fun involved in the modification of a truly a virgin, as it were, Roomba. There's nothing else to do to this Roomba. This is a vacuum cleaner. You're not making it do something that is perfectly capable of doing. The Roombas that you can modify, they're perfectly capable. In fact, they're built to be modified. I just kind of enjoy the whole the original Roomba Frogger and stuff like that. If you can head back into our archives and check that one out. Let's see. Next thing, we have a little thing from mopo.ca. Dolphins are evil. There's a strange warning sign. If anybody, I haven't gone to the antidolphin.org, but anti-dolphin organization, dolphins are capable of more than you think. They show you a dolphin with red eyes, some kind of sonic beam setting people on fire. Just thought that was awesome, so I decided to pass it along. It's a funny little sign. Might print it out and put it on my door. Now, the Magic 8-Ball demystified. What would that be? Well, have you ever used a Magic 8-Ball to actually decide something? Well, apparently somebody finally decided to crack one open. What did they find inside? Nothing more than a spongy white 20-sided die. So if you'd like to see what it looks like, you can head on over and click the link in our show notes. Kind of loses a little bit of its mysticism. Not that I actually, thought it was cool or anything. I mean, it was cool, but I mean, not that I actually am really upset that they did this, but it kind of loses a little bit of its mysticism. I always thought it was a much smaller set of choices, but hey, apparently it's a 20-sided die, so all the Dungeons & Dragons people out there could actually throw a spongy-sided, real D20 in there and actually have Magic 8-Ball D20 rolls. That'd be kind of fun. Now, I'm not even going to lie here. I stole this headline directly from Gizmodo just because there is no other way, and this is the entire reason, one of the entire reasons that I actually put this in here. Booster blades, honorable suicide. Yes, these are rollerblade, there's that generalized trademark again, and bicycles mixed in together. Now, what do you say? Well, apparently there's some kind of contraption where the booster, it's hard to describe. Imagine the rollerblade or ski boot, and then imagine two wheels instead of the traditional four or five, and there's a some strange chain in between them, and as you take the pressure off the chain, the wheels get closer together and lift your foot higher off the ground. But as you step down and the wheels separate, you're actually winding the chain, causing yourself, I guess, to go further and quicker. There's a really short video where you can actually see somebody walking around or sliding around, but you kind of, I gotta admit, you look like a tool doing it. And I just know, just from looking at these things, I would kill myself. There is absolutely no way that I would be able to function on these things. And it's not saying I'm not coordinated. Believe me, I'm not. But this is the easiest way to kill yourself that I've seen recently. Other than the venerable bathtub duck which came with a cord. I'll put the link back up in the show notes, or you can head back, I think, about three shows to find it. Now, you can look like a tool for less with this next little thing here. Now, I know some people are going to come out and say, hey, you know, I really like my hands-free Bluetooth earpiece. Yes, but you don't need to wear it when you're sitting in the movies. You don't need to wear it when you're walking down the street. You can pick your phone up at that point in time. You need to wear it when you're in the car. Or you could even need to use it when you're in your house and you're working at your computer and your phone somewhere else, and you need to be able to, you know, to have quick access to phone calls. But I just wanted to put it out there that you do look pretty much like a tool when you're walking around there. So this is the newest hands-free solution. Yes, this is a rubber band that straps your phone to your head. And that's about all we're going to say on this. No word on the cost. I didn't follow the link either, but I just thought it was fun to put out there. All right, now we have a little bit of a user-submitted content. The first up, we have listener Voyeur links. Thank you very much, Joe. Joe submitted probably one of the stranger web voyeur links that I've actually seen. This is a site called We Feel Fine, and it's been nominated for all kinds of awards, but I'm not exactly sure everything of what this is supposed to be. Basically, this looks like it could be an applet that takes care of stuff that's in the blogosphere. There's no explanation on the actual webpage, but it's an amalgam. It's an unbelievable, complex scatter chart of emotions and different things, and I guess this is for, like, if you click on any one of these floating dots all about it. Like, imagine a soda that's sitting on your desk. This is the easiest way to describe this. And imagine each one of the carbonation bubbles as they fly around the drink being a different color and sometimes even a different shape. And if you were to put your mouse on any one of those bubbles, it would come up with a little bit of information, like, and you click on it, it says, I think the main reason we live in societies where we make our beliefs is based more than feeling than on our logic. It's from 2 hours ago from someone. Now, I haven't been able to actually find a way to submit something, but it could just be because I didn't spend enough time on the site. I'm actually going to check that out. And there's all kinds of strange, crazy ways that you can actually have this view all the stuff. You can have weird, free, you can look at all kinds of different graphs and all the different things. Then you can actually search back through the past couple years at all the different things, like male. You can search by gender, by age, by how the weather was during that given day, and you can find out just feelings, general thoughts that people put out there. So I thought it was awesome. Just thought I should pass that along to you. Hopefully you'll get some enjoyment out of it. And by the way, thanks, Joe. Love the fact that you included your geek code in your email. I definitely need to update mine. For those of you out there who do not have a geek code and you're not really sure what it is, you can head on over to thegeekcode.com. There's a link in the show notes, which, by the way, if you do not receive the show notes and you'd like to see them in your email inbox, then you can send a link over to caffeination@gmail.com and say, please give me the show notes, and you'll be put on our little mailing list. And twice a week, you'll actually get the show notes hustled straight to your inbox. The good thing about this is the only time you get the show notes is when the show is posted. So if the show's late, you won't get the show until, you won't get the notes until the show's actually been uploaded. So it's kind of a fail safe. So you're never really, you don't have to worry about whether or not the show's there, because it's been kind of strange lately. But still, we're trying to sally forth here. So again, there's two more links that I actually saw out there. Both of them from Dig. One's Dig Swarm, which is kind of like We Feel Fine. The other one's Dig Stack. Now, Dig Stack's kind of like Legos for Dig. So there's like a stream of little stacks that are, every time somebody digs it, the story, you know, little tile drops from the top and lands on it. And then Dig Swarm is kind of a, it's a flash black background. And every time somebody digs a story, a little blip appears on the radar on what they dug. And every once in a while, if that person clicked on a second link, that'll link off that, and then it fades back into the background. So they're both kind of crazy, kind of things that you could definitely spend time with. Again, with the whole We Feel Fine thing, you could spend hours, I'm pretty sure, surfing through that. It's just we live in a voyeuristic culture. Everybody wants to know what everybody else is doing. How are you feeling? How am I feeling? It's kind of been shown through the whole system of blogging, because not very many people actually have blogs that people read. Believe it or not. Most people are sitting on there posting, well, you know, today was a real rough day. It's kind of like a panacea for the soul, which I probably butchered that word, and I'm pretty sure that I did, and if somebody knows how to pronounce it, I'd be very grateful for you. It's P-A-N-C-E-A. My other greatest difficulty is in spelling, so panacea, I don't even know. It's like an antidote, something that soothes your soul. So hey, and then the next thing we have up here is thank you, Michael, for submitting the update to the McFly sneaker story from the last time. Yes, they were fakes, according to Michael, and then he sent us to the link over to McFly2015.com, where you can actually see the petition that people are signing, trying to get them done. A whole bunch of information, so you can see all the information that they have over there. It's kind of cool. And apparently, according to Michael, the sneakers that we showed you last time are actually not sneakers at all. They're something that guy made in his mom's basement. So, hey, they almost looked right, almost, but not quite exactly like the Air McFlys. Now, that about wraps up the tech tidbits here today at the Caffeination. And you might wonder what exactly we have going here at the Caffeination now that we're done with the tech tidbits. Well, if this is your first time for listening for you here, as the sound of Master Blaster goes up in the background, we have two little caffeinated links. One's the ultimate all-in-one accessory. Now, I know what everybody's thinking. Is this the scanner, faxer, copier? No. This is creamer and sugar in the same device. Now, you might think, hey, that's awesome. How much would this work? Well, or how would this work, rather? Well, it's a normal creamer, pretty much, a little industrial design style. And then there's a self-tilting bowl for cubes of sugar, so that there's no interplay between the sugar and the cream. They just exist, coexist peacefully within the same space. Interesting idea. How much would you be willing to spend for this ceramic wonder? $68? I think not. I'd rather have my two. Thank you very much. And then the last thing we had here for Caffeinated Bits today was, I need alcohol. It's been a long day. I really wish that I had all the makings of this one. It's a new twist on the whole Irish coffee recipe. You take 4 ounces of hot coffee, you dissolve 1 teaspoon of granulated sugar, be it raw or refined sugar, I'm pretty sure. Then you take 2 ounces of brandy and 2 ounces of heavy whipping cream. I never really use heavy whipping cream. I either use I use steamed milk usually, or not even steamed milk. I actually usually take I actually usually take the milk and put it in the microwave for a little bit. I don't have all the little contraptions that everybody does. The most high-tech thing that I actually have is the coffee maker we got for our wedding. So, I mean, that was a rather expensive but rather wonderful purchase. But here's how you make it. Basically, you pour the coffee into an Irish coffee cup or glass. You add the sugar. You stir until it's dissolved, of course. Then you add the brandy and stir again. You pour the cream over the back of a teaspoon onto the top of the drink so that it floats, and then you serve. Now, I always enjoy this style of pouring, where you actually try and get the cream to actually separate from the coffee, and you drink the coffee through the layer of cream and or foam. I always thought that was kind of fun. It adds a different flavor profile to that. Now, you might be wondering exactly why the music's popping up in the background here and now, but I'm actually working on the soundboard. I'm trying to get it done right, and some of the songs are just too short, and they're going to get cut out of there. So we're trying to smooth this whole thing out. We are far from a radio production at this point in time, but we're slowly getting better. Now, this is an incredibly short caffeination. If you don't usually listen to us, we usually run around 40 to 45 minutes. But like I said, we're trying to snip it in the bud tonight. I have a tendency to babble, and I've tried to hold that in check. And I'd like to thank everybody who sent their encouraging and get well wishes. I really wish I knew what exactly was wrong at this point, but still. Hopefully we'll be able to get everything working and get everything corrected by the next time. And we actually have two tech talks that we might even do back to back this week. Tech talk is where we pick one topic, kind of go a little freestyle on it, and we discuss different aspects of it. We try and break it down for the common man. If you're not the most technologically advanced person in the world, I mean, even if you are, sometimes it's really good to go back to basics. I consider myself fairly proficient at Photoshop, and I photoshopped things. Kind of stick it to Adobe right there, but I consider myself a fairly proficient at different things. But even then, I like going back to basics. I like, you know, redoing the whole origin of things sometimes, because there's the tiny little tricks that you don't always catch that you might know or things like that. It's like I even did that with my college experience. I actually took my degree is in anthropology. I actually took the Introduction to Anthropology course 5 times in the different little not the same course, but the same vein. Like each one went, to linguistics, one went to, just to try it out, to make sure I had all the bases covered. And I was even taking them in my senior year. So it's kind of like that. You kind of need to make sure you have all of your bases covered with every little thing in there. So I think I'm done rambling for tonight. Thank you for listening, everybody. Let me just run down the list, links. And my throat's telling me we're done, too. If you're listening to this podcast on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, or if you don't know where this show lives and somebody handed you an MP3, first of all, thank them very much. Second of all, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Then you can head on over to caffeination@gmail.com to email us your comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever kind of stories you find interesting, and we'll put them on the show, give you a little link up there. If there's a place you'd like us to link to you, please let us know that as well, and we'll gladly give you a little link exchange there. We're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Network. That's BLUBRRY. It's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site. It's kind of like MySpace for podcasts. Speaking of MySpace, you can find us over at www.myspace.com/caffeination. And the music ran out just at the right time. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.